The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
This is a word of instruction. I don't preach nearly as long as Mars, so we're going to be out of here long before noon. But here's the deal. I'm watching your eyes. Okay? If you get it, we'll preach it once. If you don't get it, I might be tempted to start over. So if you fall asleep, put on sunglasses so I can't see your eyes. Because this is really an important message this morning. Important because I think it's what God wants to say today. Not because I thought up something clever, but I really prayed about it. God, what do you want to say today? And what he wants to say today, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If you made a literal translation of I am the bread of life, it says I am the bread that gives life and sustains life. It's one of the most powerful messages in the entire Bible because he's our source. Everything that we are and do and say comes from him. He said, it says I give life. What was there before life came? Nothing. And he says, I sustain life. And without sustaining life, what have we got? You know, it's one thing to buy a house and say, well, I saved up and I bought a house. But if you can't afford to pay the utilities on it, and if you can't afford... Yes, ma'am. You want to ask me a question? Excuse me? Pardon me one second. Did dinosaurs come before humans? No, I think humans came first. What can I say? Take that home. It's true. Free-flowing, folks. Free-flowing. This giving life is when you buy a house, you have to understand that there's going to be bills to maintain that house. You got to pay the insurance. You got to pay the utility. Sometimes you even have to paint that puppy. There's things that you have to do. Some happen quickly and some happens long, but you got to maintain it. And when Jesus comes, this as the bread of life, not only does he bring life and bring wholeness, but then he sustains us. It's not just a one-time event where you walk in and says, oh, I got my Jesus, I'm good to go. You got your Jesus, you're good to go, but you know what? He's going to continue to walk with you. You're going to continue in fullness and satisfaction. It's one of the most important messages that Jesus brings us. There's seven places in the New Testament that Jesus talks about, I am. And the first we're talking about today is, I am the bread of life. Some of the other ones in John chapter 8 is that, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, he said, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10 also, he says, I am the good shepherd. He goes on in 11 to say, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. Each of these is a really important clue into the nature of Jesus. They're all different. For him to be the bread of life, to be the shepherd, to be the way, the truth, and to be the vine, they're all different ways of looking at the same thing. But the bottom line is, he said, I am. God the Father said, I am many years before. And that's all he said. I am everything, and Jesus is everything to us as well. But when he says, I am the bread of life, he said, I am the living bread. In John 6:51, he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone lives with this bread, he shall live forever. We're talking about bread this morning, and we're going to go on and talk about it the whole time. But let me ask you this. If you don't have the bread, where's the bread store? How do you get it? And let's start off right at the very beginning and said, how you get the bread? And I don't think there's anybody better to lead us in that thought than Billy Graham. And one of the things that Billy Graham says, this bread satisfies the inner longings and hungers in your heart. Everything that you need and want in life is satisfied by Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We spend so much time chasing this world, and I'm going to say this several times over this morning, but we spend so much time chasing things in this world, trying to fill up that God need in us. But the fact is, it's only God going to do it. He said He satisfies all of the inner longings of our hearts, the things that we really need to sustain life. And He said, how do you get that bread? Billy Graham's asking a question. How do you get that bread? And He gives us four thoughts to think about. He says, you must first repent of your sins. What does repent of our sins mean? The past. Lord, I wasn't there before. Here's the reality. I've done these things. These have been a part of my life. But today I want to say to you, which is the second part, I'm going to change my mind. I was going in this direction. I'm going to give up that stuff I've done in the past. I'm so sorry for it, Lord. I'm so sorry I missed the mark. The definition of sin is missing the mark. I'm so sorry, Lord, I missed the mark. He said, but today, I'm going to change my mind. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here or on the internet or wherever you might be in the sound of this voice on the radio next week, let me tell you what, change your mind. Change your mind from the things you used to do. And it says the third thing He says is to turn your back on sin, which is to say, I'm sorry for what I did today. I'm putting a mark right here, and I'm changing my mind, and I'm going forward with Jesus. My future's going to be different than it is today. And finally, He said to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The first three are something of behavior modification. You can do that. You can do that. With a positive mind and a positive outlook, you could say, you know, I touched that, like you teach a baby, you know, I touched that stove, wow, I ain't going to do that again. That's behavior modification. We've touched some stuff. I'm not going to peek inside your brain, but I'm going to guess that you touched some stuff in your life that you wish you hadn't. Some stuff in your life that you don't plan on touching again. You've been burned. That's behavior modification. But if you want it to stick, if you want to make a change that's going to make a difference and count for something, it's not going to be a change without Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You need to receive Jesus. He is your strength. He is your rock. How great is my God? How great is my God that He would love me, and He knows who I am, and He knows who you are, and He loves you anyway, not because of who you are. Before Christ, you and I were looking for satisfaction, as the song says, in all the wrong places. We were looking for riches and material goods in life. Before Jesus Christ, we had habits in our life that weren't pleasing to Him. Maybe it was inappropriate relationships. Maybe we were just an angry person who was always giving everybody a world of grief. Maybe that's who we were before we met Jesus. Maybe it was addictions. Maybe it was things that was dragging us down, stuff that had a hold of us and we couldn't feel like we couldn't get rid of it. Satan has many, many tricks to help you make bad choices. In the same way Satan lies to you every day, he lied to Adam and Eve. He caused, listen, you gotta love this, he caused Eve to sin over something that she didn't know she wanted or needed. When Eve woke up that morning, she didn't wake up and says, well, how are we going to trick God out of some of his treasure today? She didn't even know she wanted to be like God when she woke up that morning. But Satan says, listen, you see that apple over there? And it wasn't an apple, but we're going to say it's an apple. He says, you see that apple over there? He said, that apple grows on a tree of good knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you take a bite of that apple, you're going to be like God. You're going to be able to see what God sees. She didn't know. It's like watching QVC. You watch that program, and in four easy installments of $19.95, we will mail to your house today in a secure package whatever it is they're selling. And you didn't even know you needed it when you turned it on. Listen, they sell these copper-clad pans. Have you seen those? Yeah, they're square. No, they're really good. And they kept saying, if you use this pan, you won't burn your beef stroganoff. You know? Well, I told Denise, we need to get one. She said, when have I ever burned a beef stroganoff? I said, well, you never have, but you might. With this pan, it's guaranteed you won't. And it's so easy to clean up. Look, you can just... Well, she got her old pots and pans out. She made a beef stroganoff, and it was awesome. And I stopped complaining. I didn't know I needed that pan, but that man on TV said I did. And I was willing to spend $19.95 a month for 4 months, charged to my credit card, easy pay. And I didn't even have to pay off the credit card for years from now because I got 0% interest. They can lie to, like, lie. That's how Satan lies to you. Jesus said that Satan came like a thief. This is John 10:10. He said, the thief, now that's Satan we're talking about, purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus went on to say, but my purpose is to give them, who you suppose them is? That'd be you. Them is you. He said, I came to give them a rich and satisfying life. Let's look at what Satan's doing. He's come to steal. What do you think he's going to steal? You expect to wake up tomorrow morning and find that $10 bill you had in your wallet was gone? No, he's not going to steal that. That ain't enough. He's going to steal your quality of life. He's going to steal your health. He'd be by causing you to do things that are going to ruin your health. He's going to steal your finances by causing you to make bad choices and bad decisions along the way. He's going to steal by causing you to have anxiety. Everybody's out to get me. Nobody loves me. Is that Charlie Brown? Could be. But it's Satan lying to you and I. He's going to steal from you everything you got. He's going to steal your gifts. God has given each one of us some magnificent gifts. Have you ever met anybody in your life that you looked at that person and said they never made their potential? They made some mistakes somewhere along the line. They made some bad choices somewhere along the line. And they're never able to quite be the person that God called them to be. You know anybody like that? Maybe I'm one of them. Because maybe I made some bad choices along the way. That's Satan stealing from you. He's stealing your future. God gives you these wonderful gifts to be able to do stuff. And Satan comes and with one bad decision. Can you conceive of one bad decision that you've made in your life that affected the rest of your life? Can you remember one thing that you did that changed the course of your history? Maybe it was Satan. Maybe it was Satan stealing from you the rest of your life because he just hates you that much. Stealing your future away from you. He said he came to kill. What's he going to kill? Your joy, your peace. He's going to cause you to dwell on the disappointments of your life. If only this, if only that, if only I had done better here, I'm so disappointed. I'll never be what I was ever meant to be. He'll steal the joy from you. He'll kill you. He'll sit you in a place where you don't want to be. Depression, worry. Thoughts about suicide. All of those things, none of that comes from God. God speaks specifically about those things, saying, this is not for my children. Well, where does it come from? Satan, trying to hurt you. He said he will destroy. What will he destroy? Relationships. He'll get you and I fussing with each other about nothing. And a year from now, we won't even know what we were fussing about at the beginning. All I know is I don't like them. They don't look at me right. And I can't even remember why we started fussing with each other. Satan will do that for you. He'll break your trust to where you never trust anybody again. I'm never going to trust anybody again. Everybody's always let me down. I'm going to be suspicious. I'm not going to let anybody ever love me again. Because every time I've given myself in a relationship... And I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. But every time I've given myself to somebody, they come back and they bite me. I ain't doing that no more. Where do you think that come from? That's the job of Satan. The job of Satan is to steal from you and me, to kill the joy of our life, to destroy the good things in our life that make us rich people. And Jesus says, I came to give you a rich and satisfying life, to fill you with the good things of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean you're going to have rich like money? Am I going to hit the lottery? God, you want me to go buy a lottery ticket today? How about, what's it called, Power Shot? No, that's my camera. Powerball. I'm going to go get a Powerball ticket today because Jesus says he's going to make me rich. Today's the day. I'm going to dedicate this to, instead of putting it in the offering, this money was dedicated to God. I'm going to take that $2 and I'm going to go down and buy me a ticket because that's God's money and he's going to make me rich. Come on. That ain't going to happen that way. Where are you going to be rich in? Friends, this is one of the wealthiest group of people I know sitting in this room today. You know why? Because you love each other. You trust each other. You care for each other. When one of us is up, we're all up. Man, we're all celebrating and dancing. Hot dog! When one of us is down, we draw together. And we're gonna make a circle. We're going to circle the wagons. That's richness. That's fullness. You can go take your $2 and win the lottery, and you ain't going to buy that. You may buy a lot of stuff, but you're not going to buy somebody who loves you. And if it is, it's just for your money. I want you to love me just the way I am. Bald, too short, overweight, imperfect. I want you to love me just like that. Not likely that's going to change much. And you know what? I'm going to love you too. With hair, trim and fit. I may be jealous, but I'm going to love you. That's what God gives us. Serving him is the fullness of life. There is no better life than that. St. Paul said, I have, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he said, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, whether it's with plenty or little. And Jesus is reaching out. This is not like he said, okay, I've got a certain quantity of this love and I can accommodate 1,000 people. Give me a break. There's room for all of us. There's room for people who have turned him down, people who have rejected him, and maybe at some point that was you too, wasn't it? Maybe at some point you were saying, I don't need that Jesus stuff. I'm strong. I'm good. I don't need all that. And later on you came back because he says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Satan's rat race, Satan's game, Satan, he runs you around the block till your tongue is slapped, hanging out. That you just feel like you can't take another step. Where you're that deep down tired, where your body wants to lay down and rest and your mind won't let you. That's Satan's tool. But Jesus says, come on over here. He said, if you're tired, are you tired? Tired of running? Tired of hiding? Tired of playing games? Tired of keeping up the front? Tired of trying to make other people believe something is not what it is? Is what it's not? You tired of all that? If you're weary and carrying heavy burdens, Jesus simply says, come here. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to take care of you. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you some stuff. That's part of the walking with you. That's part of the staying with you. He said, look, you're in a mess. But let me get you out of the mess. And you know what? I'm going to teach you some stuff because I love you. He said, because I am humble and gentle at heart. If you had a teacher who was going to tell you how to straighten your life out, how would you want him to be? How about humble and gentle in heart? How about you will find rest for your soul? Second time he said rest. Jesus wants to take care of all of us. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden, my yoke is easy to bear and my burden I give you is light. He's going to give you something to work with, something to work on. But you know what? It brings rest. It brings peace. It brings order to your life. It brings strength. It brings a goodness in your life that we cannot have without him. There's only one bread that satisfies. Whoever comes to me shall not be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. There's enough bread to go around, folks. Not anybody since Jesus' time has not had enough bread to save their soul. Every person, there's 6 billion people, I understand, living today, and I don't have the latest count, but somewhere close to that. About 6 billion folks on the face of the earth, you know what? There's enough bread for all of them. And even if we scoop it all up today, like they scooped up the manna in the desert, there's enough bread for everybody who's going to come behind us until Jesus Christ comes back. That bread is the saving grace of our life. That bread that Jesus gives us brings purpose and meaning to our life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Hang on to Jesus, he'll tell you. He'll show you, he'll bring you, he'll give you what you need for the day. Now, did you get that part? Everybody still with me? All right, I'm going to change courses for a second. I'm going to chase a rabbit. Anybody chasing rabbits? Morris is really good at it. Okay, I'm learning from the best. I'm going to chase a rabbit here with you for a minute. How many times have you heard it said in the past, or maybe how many times have you heard it from your own mouth? When you're talking to people about spiritual things, said, I believe that there's a God. Okay. What's the big deal? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about believing that there's a God. I'm talking about satisfaction in life, not just believing that there's a God. You know, the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he knew there was a God. So when somebody's witness and testimony in life says, I believe in God, I want to tell you something, just not good enough. Satan did not pretend that God didn't exist. When he spoke to Eve, he said, "So I don't see it in my notes." He said, "God knows. God put that tree there." Satan knew exactly who God was. So for us, our testimony in life is to say, "I believe in God," is just not good enough. Believing that there are God is simply not a solution to gain the fullness of life, in this life or the next. The assumption is that if I believe that God exists, that he will live a full life, that I will live a full life and go to heaven. If I believe that God exists, I'll go to heaven. Satan knows that God exists. Would logic tell us that Satan's going to go to heaven because he believes that God exists? There's got to be another element in it, don't you think? There's got to be something else in there that we need to look at. If you were somehow saved by knowing, it's like you were somehow saved by acknowledging that God exists. What kind of a wimpy God is that? So if you do not believe that it exists, does that mean you go to hell? Well, no, it doesn't. Because you see, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Well, if you're not a believer, does that mean that God sends you to hell? Listen to my words. I'm parsing them carefully. Does it mean that God sends you to hell? And the answer is no. Because you see what happens when we get to what we'll call the pearly gates. Okay? There's going to be in those days with the great white throne judgment. Now, I'm not going to get into all the judgment. We could spend weeks talking about the great white throne judgment, the judgment that we receive rewards as believers. There's a whole lot of stuff to talk about that we're not going to address at all. I'm very, very narrow, very carefully saying that there's going to be a very specific qualification to enter into the kingdom of God. For those of you in your past life who have gone to casinos, you know that if you gamble enough in the casinos, they'll comp your room. You know what I'm saying? They'll pay for your meals. They'll pay to keep you there to keep spending money. And as they say, well, you got your room comp. Now, nobody knows about that, except maybe you saw it on TV or something, right? Okay. When we get to heaven, you may think of it as Jesus comped our room. Okay? The way they can tell, they've got a ledger. And your name is written in the ledger. And you have no qualification except that Jesus said that you could come in. Jesus comped your mansion. He says, hey, man, we're going to get a mansion. Okay, Jesus comped this. He provided for that. Because you see, there's only one qualification to get into heaven, and that's righteousness. Okay? By Jesus coming, he paid our bill for sin. So when God wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, he wrote it down not based on my righteousness, but on the righteousness of Jesus. Okay, and I think we all pretty well understand that Jesus died for our sins and that we're whole and complete because of him and not anything our own. I said that because I want to make the opposite point. What if you don't know Jesus? What if you don't know somebody on the inside who's willing to comp your room for you, comp your management, your mansion for you? What if you don't know them? Then you have to pay from your own resources. How much righteousness you got in the bank? How much righteousness do you have stored up that you can say, oh, instead of taking the room with two king-size beds, I'll just take the single on the first floor, you know, with the little bed on the side, because I only have this much. It doesn't work that way. It's your righteousness. Can you picture yourself right now standing before God Almighty, who already knows your story? This is not like you're going to go and con him into saying, well, you know, I've got a nice suit and a coat and a tie, and I didn't wear a tie today, but I look pretty good. So based on this, I drive a big car. I'm okay. You can let me in. He knows that the car was borrowed. He knows that the tie was a cheap $2 tie. I love $2 ties. He was a cheap $2 tie that I bought on, trying to look like something I'm not. You're not going to mess with him. It's not your it is your sin, but it's not your sin that doesn't let you into heaven. What it is your lack of righteousness. No one, not one, has ever had the righteousness that it takes to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Knowing that God exists, knowing that there's a mansion there, even with your name, your mansion's there with your name on it. They're ready for you. All you need to do is to know somebody on the inside. And who is that? Jesus Christ. And he will be able to write your name in that book of life. That when you get to the gate, they can say, oh, Bob, we've been waiting for you for a while. Glad you took a long time to get here. I said, I planned on it. I said, because I love my friends. I just love doing life. My life is so full, and my life is so good. I just wanted to stay with them as long as I could. And you know what? I wanted to tell them more about you. I wanted to tell them how good you've been to me. And he said, Bob, you did good. You did good. Listen, I got your name. Come on in. Your mansion's over here on the left, right next to the forest over there. We watch the squirrels and the rabbits and the deer and all that stuff. Good. That's what I like, God. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not based on me, based on Jesus. Somebody else trying to get in and said, well, I deserve to be in. I had a hard life. Somebody shouted at me when I was 5 years old. Jesus said, get over it. Go forgive that person. No. You don't understand. I have a good brain. I was supposed to go to medical school, but my mom and daddy treated me bad and told me I couldn't go. It's their fault. I didn't make it in life. Jesus said, get over it. Forgive them. Use what I gave you. Do the best that you can. Trust me. Depend on me. Forget the past. Commit to me in the present, and I'll give you the future. Whether that future is walking with you in this lovely place on a Sunday morning, or whether that future is walking those streets of gold with Jesus and you when you get there. I'm a lot older than most of you, so I'll be there first. Me and Rose, we're going to save a place for you. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to get in? You got to go through Jesus to get in. There's no side door. There's no back door. There's nobody else that's going to give you a pass for a day. It's only Jesus. He said, I'm on duty 24/7, 365. He said, if you want to get in here, you come see me. He said, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, he said, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God, you're going to perish. If you don't turn, repent of your sin. This is not being good enough. This is not saying, well, God, I did all this good stuff. Man, I even tithed. They didn't take the basket. I even wrote the check, put the check in the basket, and they didn't even ask me for it. Now, that's pretty good. That's pretty tough. And I have to commend this church for doing it that way. It is pretty tough. Somebody stick a basket under your nose, you feel compelled to do it. Somebody just says, just love me enough to take care of me. That is a marvelous thing, and you guys to be commended for that. Jesus said in Romans chapter 10, or St. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, if you openly declare, what do you got to do? I'm going to tell you right now. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe in your heart. You know what? Did you notice that we're all not the same? Did you notice that this morning when you walked in? Did you notice that we look different? That we act different? That we talk different? That we have different stories and different backgrounds? Jesus said, come to me just like you are. You don't have to be a stamped out model to say, well, everybody who's a Christian has to act in exactly the same way. No. Some are called to be apostles. Some are called to be evangelists. Some are even prophets and pastors and teachers. We all got a place. And it's not the same place. Can you imagine how limp this world would be if we were all exactly the same? I need Rose just the way she is. God bless her. I need Robert Watts. I need all of you. I need Tommy. Without you, I am not complete. We need each other as God created us to be. And as he brings us to that gate, and as we confess that Jesus is Lord and declare with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that's the qualification. Not a standardized, you got to be this way and you got to act that way. Just believe in your heart that he loves you as much as I'm telling you. In fact, these words aren't even good enough. He loves you a lot more than I'm telling you. For it is by believing in your heart. You listening to me? Key times. I'm going to preach this nervous again if you don't listen to me. It is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. I can't look in your heart. I have no clue what's in your heart, except that I can see love in your eyes, but I can't see your heart. But if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and that he was risen from the dead and that if you're willing to tell other people about it, if your testimony is, yes, I believe that there's a God, is that enough? No. It's not quite. It's not going to get you to heaven, and it's not going to be fulfilling what God said, declaring your faith. I am trusting Jesus with all I got. I got problems in my life just like you got problems in your life, and I want you to know I'm trusting Jesus. Whether it goes up or goes down, whether I trip over something along the way, whether I have health issues or whether I'm broke tomorrow, I'm trusting Jesus, y'all. I'm trusting him that I'm going to be able to have the fullness and the quality of this life. And when this one's done, when he says it's done, I'm marching on with him in heaven. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes like a blink and open them in the presence of Jesus. Because I'm good enough. Because I like to get up and run my mouth on a Sunday morning, less than Morris does. I mean, just get up and run my mouth on a Sunday morning. Is that going to get me to heaven? Nah. I just believe in my heart that Jesus loves me, that he died for me, that my life is full and complete and lacking nothing. As Paul said, whether I have a lot or have a little, doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I got Jesus. And that's what makes the difference. Everyone, verse 13 says, Is that up there? Look at that 13. Everyone. How many?
Everyone.
Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. No exclusions. Everyone. If Jesus is the answer in your life, then you will be saved. That your life here will be full, that it will be sustained, that it will be cared for, because Jesus said it would be. Now, that's my rabbit. That was a big rabbit. About the size of a cow, y'all. Back to the main point. Jesus is the bread that sustains life. He is the bread that brings good health and spiritual healing in our lives. He is the bread that gives us fullness and healing. Jesus says, I am the only way. So what does it mean? I think I already covered this. I think I got out of sequence. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. There will be a judgment day. It's going to happen. There's going to be a day when Jesus looks at people and he says, okay, this world, this experiment with humanity is over. It's been going on for, I don't know, from the dinosaurs. It's been going on from the dinosaurs through Adam and Eve, or Adam and Eve through the dinosaurs. I think they all drowned, the dinosaurs all drowned in the flood. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all of this stuff one day will be behind us. We'll know the answers to all the questions. We'll figure out, it's either this, how did God part the Red Sea for Moses? Or how did he drown the Egyptian army in 6 inches of water? You know, it's. We'll know the answer to all of the questions one day. But for right now, there will be that judgment day. And you're either going to have to know somebody who was on the inside, who put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you're going to have to defend your own life before God. Can you do it? Are you willing to take a shot at it? I'm not. I think I've covered the major things I wanted to say, but let me reiterate with this. Jesus is the only way. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you don't know him as your peace and your comfort, if you're tired of playing games with God, be it in this room we're talking to, or be it people on the internet or people who listen on the radio, there's an out for you. There's a way to make it different starting now and today, if you want it to be. Your choice. God gives us free will to make that decision for ourselves. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be under the care of the great healer, the great physician? Do you want to be under the care of the creator of the universe, the Almighty? Do you want to be under the care of the one who holds you in the palm of his hands like a little bird in the springtime? What do you want to be? Or do you want to say, you know what? I'm smart enough, I'm strong enough, that I can beat the rap. I'll represent myself in court. I don't need a lawyer. I'll be glad to stand before God Almighty and tell him that I was right and he was wrong. It's up to you. We have that free choice. And that free choice, there's a day of salvation. I have a day written in my Bible, June the 2nd, 1981. Prayed with Billy Graham on TV, that same routine I just told you about before. I prayed with him. Some of the same scriptures that we read today were in his message. And I accepted Jesus almost 37 years ago, and I hadn't looked back. Left nothing on the other side of the tracks that I need to go back and claim. Every one of us needs that kind of day to be able to say, starting today, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus, please put my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to follow after you. Amen? Let's do this for the sake of those who are watching on the internet and for the sake of for those who might be listening on the radio and maybe somebody in this room. Let's just do the sinner's prayer together. Would that be okay? Would you agree to that with me? And if you're saying this sincerely for the first time in your heart, just let me know afterwards, and I'll be glad to pray for you. Because it's not the one-time event. Jesus said he came to give life, and he came to sustain life. There's two sides to it. Amen? Let's just pray this together and believe that God's going to use it in a powerful way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. We thank you for loving us so much that even when we've given up on ourselves, you have never given up on us. Please forgive us for what is past. Please help us to change our mind today and say, I'm making it different. Help us to walk with you in the future. We acknowledge we can't do it by ourselves. We tried before. But today, with Jesus' help, we receive all that you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. 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 May the Lord bless you this week, give you a wonderful and a great week. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Chaplain Bruce Olivier, who's also a deacon at Calvary Baptist Church on Old Spanish Trail, will be bringing the word. Lord willing, I'll be here to help him with the service. And we expect to see you back next week. And bring a crowd with you. Bring a crowd with you. Let's fill this place up. Amen? If you need prayer, you want to chit-chat about something, I'll be standing up here for a little bit. God bless.